You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 31st of December 2025 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, it's New Year's Eve today, but I actually have a story today that is more to do with Christmas. I don't know how, but I missed this one on the actual run-up to Christmas. This is from a few days ago and I'm taking it from the Daily Mail and the headline is Father Christmas is too white and has no right to judge if children are naughty or nice, says Woke Museum. Father Christmas, I think, is a very British way to refer to Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas, and I guess there's all sorts of different traditions about the winter solstice and Odin and various other characters, as I say, Saint Nicholas, Father Christmas, Santa Claus, all sorts of traditions. And in a lot of these Scandinavian ones, Father Christmas is the one who rewards the children, but there's also someone who punishes the children. And that could be Krampus, or it could be Black Pete in Holland, various traditions that we have. So why are they saying here that he has no right to judge if children are naughty or nice? Well, Father Christmas has been dragged into the culture wars after a museum declared the festive icon is too white and should stop sitting in judgment over children's behaviour. What do they mean, he is too white? I mean, either somebody is white or they are not white. It's only one of two things that you can actually be. What does it mean that he is too white? Are they talking about the fact that he has a white beard, that he has grey hair? And he is supposed to be an old man, that's why he has the grey hair. Or do they mean just simply the fact that he's white and he's not of mixed race, he's not of mixed parentage? In a startling intervention ahead of Christmas, Brighton and Hove Museums argued that Father Christmas must be decolonised in the name of diversity, claiming his traditional role reinforces damaging ideas about power, authority, and Western superiority. And Brighton is probably the gay capital of Britain, so it is particularly left-wing there. They did vote the Green Party in there, one of the few counties to actually do that. I'm not quite sure what Father Christmas has to do with colonisation, though. So I guess what they mean by it must be decolonised is just part of this drive to remove anything British from anything that is actually British. Father Christmas is a British tradition. So what they mean by decolonising Father Christmas is removing the British part of it. The claims appeared in a blog post published on the museum's website, which suggested Santa's familiar naughty and nice routine promotes a Western binary and casts the bearded gift giver as a global moral judge. Well, I'm not sure it does. I think it talks about children, but it's clearly a European tradition. What does it mean by Western binary? Are they claiming that in the East there is no male and female? I mean, male and female exists throughout the whole world of nature. It's the source of all life. It's not a Western idea that only Western people have. It's a fact across the whole of nature. For many children, the story of Santa Claus is as much a part of Christmas as gifts and Christmas dinner, the post said. But the tale of a white Western Santa who judges all children's behaviour has problems. I don't see that it does have problems. I mean, all European children are going to know that they are European. They can tell with their eyes that they are different to people that are non-white, and when they see Santa, I'm sure they assume that Santa is for them because he's a part of their extended family. And I'm not quite sure that they assume that Santa judges all children's behavior. I mean, surely that's a colonialist idea in itself, that you would assume that Santa was going to judge all children's behavior rather than just children that look like him. Museum chiefs went further, questioning Santa's right to assess children across different cultures and traditions. I don't see that Santa has ever said that he judges all children across all different cultures and traditions. It's a European tradition. As he visits each nation, he determines if the children deserve presents based on being naughty or nice, the blog added. But who decided Santa should be the judge of children's behaviour in every community? How can he assess, for example, indigenous children practicing their own cultural traditions? Well, what they're really doing here is pointing out problems with multiculturalism, aren't they? I mean, how indeed can Santa judge people from different ethnic groups? Clearly he can't, and that doesn't just go for Santa, that goes for everything. I don't believe we should have people from other ethnic groups sitting in judgment over other ethnic groups. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's like saying that the crocodiles should sit in judgment over the gazelles. It doesn't occur in nature. One group, it looks after the people from its own group. And really, you can only judge people from your own group. You can't put yourself in the shoes of, say, for instance, a black person. How can you put yourself into the shoes of a black person? They would tell you that. They would say, well, look, we've been the victims of racism. You haven't. So you wouldn't understand what it's like to be a black person. And I would agree with that. I think it's wrong that we have different races sitting in judgment over others. We really only have a right to judge over our own race. And that's because we know what it's like to be part of that race. Told like this, the story presents Santa as the ultimate authority of all societies. This asks us to accept colonial assumptions of cultural superiority. Well, I'm sure they would be really complaining even worse if we were to say, well, Santa is just there to judge white children because he is white. He's got nothing to do with non-white children and they have their own traditions. They would say that that was even worse. They would say that makes Santa a racist, because he doesn't want to give presents to the non-whites. And they really just want to attack anything that is European. That's the source of this. Parents, the museum urged, should actively challenge the colonial gaze by abandoning the idea of Father Christmas rewarding children based on a Western binary of naughty or nice. So they think that that's wrong to teach children the difference between good and evil, to encourage children to be well-behaved rather than badly behaved. This is some kind of a Western binary. Well, if that is true, and it is a Western binary, and it's just unique to the West, that we teach children the difference between good and evil, again, surely that says that there are massive differences between white people and non-whites, and it implies that non-whites don't know the difference between good and bad. And I'm sure that's, again, if I was to say something like that, I would be accused of racism. But that's what these authors of this blog are implying. They're implying that people that aren't white don't know the difference between naughty and nice. Focus on bringing joy to kids of all backgrounds rather than judging them, the post advised. Again, but this is part of our way of teaching children to be well-behaved. I mean, the whole idea of Santa is a gentle way to teach children to spot when adults are deceiving them, to spot when other people are deceiving them. And it also serves this purpose of encouraging children to be well-behaved. It's the carrot and the stick approach. Is that some kind of Western binary as well, the idea of the carrot and the stick? Perhaps these less civilized cultures, perhaps they only have the stick. But again, I don't think that's what this author is seeking to infer. Have Santa learn about different cultures rather than judge them, it recommended. Well, I don't see that Santa is judging different cultures either. He's judging children. He's not looking at different cultures and making value judgments over them. He's making value judgments over the behavior of the child, which is effectively how everything works within the West anyway. If you're going to reject that and say, well, I don't think my child should be judged on his behaviour, then that child is likely to be very badly behaved and to upset everybody else in the class, aren't they? Stories could show Santa experiencing their traditions, emphasise cultural exchange rather than assessment. Again, I think that would be quite insulting. We would be accused of racism if Santa was to go out and start experiencing cannibalism or human sacrifice or any of these other things, less savoury things that some of these other groups have been involved in. Even Santa's workshop was not spared scrutiny, with the museum suggesting that the man in red should abandon his traditional leadership role. Well, men are traditionally leaders because men are stronger than women, they are more assertive than women, and women's natural role is to raise children. They lead the children, and the man leads the woman. That's the natural way of all things. The alpha male leads, not the matriarch. That's not a natural thing that we see amongst mammals, matriarchs leading the troop. We might see it in types of animals that have sexual dimorphism, where you end up with a female that is larger than the male. So you might get that in spiders, or you might get that in birds, which is probably why girls are sometimes called birds, but you don't get it in mammals. It's completely unnatural to have anything other than a male leading. It's not reflected in the natural world. Include people from around the world in Santa's workshop. This acknowledges global input. Put Santa to work in the factory alongside the elves. This shows him and the elves as equal. Again, if they were to show black elves working there, they would say, well, this is slavery. Santa's got slaves here. He's got these elves enslaved. I'm sure that if these ideas were actually enacted upon, it would have the opposite effect. And quite clearly, when you have workers, you have to have a boss. You can't have the boss is the same as the workers. The boss needs to be making the decisions, and the workers need to be following them. Essentially, you need to have somebody with intelligence that is leading the team, and you need to have people with brawn that are doing the physical labour. Brains and brawn, the two work together. They're not equal, they're different, but the two work together to achieve something that either couldn't do on their own. In a further twist, the blog floated the idea of replacing Father Christmas altogether. Well, you can't just replace traditions and expect people to go along with them. I mean, I guess that's what they're trying to do now. That's what they mean by decolonizing things, is replacing white traditions with traditions from elsewhere. But doesn't that just really show that white people are occupied by foreigners if we are getting rid of our traditions and changing them for foreign traditions? Isn't that a sign that white countries are occupied by foreigners? It's like when Sadiq Khan, who is the mayor of London and his origins are in Pakistan, and he starts replacing all the names of the tube stations with left-wing ideas for names, and he wants to replace the statues of white people and put brown people up there. And he says, well, this is to reflect the changes in London, the changes, the demographic changes. So effectively he's saying to reflect the fact that London is now majority non-white, the images and statues should also be majority non-white. And again, that just shows that London is occupied by non-whites, non-indigenous people, and yet we seem to be cheering this on, and we think this is a good thing. Alternatively, Santa could become Mother Christmas. Again, this is just changing tradition for the sake of changing tradition. It's like when they try to change the gender of God. I mean, what you've got there is feminism. You got the idea that a woman can do exactly the same things as a man, and women can't do exactly the same things as men. We might be equal under the law, but we were not created equal. Men have things that they're better at, and women have things that they are better at. I'm not quite sure how women would do trying to get down a chimney, for a start. That's the sort of thing men do. An inclusive adaptation could include many Santas from different regions, the document said. Well, we do have many Santas from different regions. We have, but they're all from white regions, aren't they? Because it's a white tradition. We have St. Nicholas and Black Pete from Holland. We have Krampus from Austria. We have Father Christmas from Britain. We already have these different Santa Claus. You know, Santa or Father Christmas was originally green over 100 years ago. And then Coca-Cola changed him to being red. And the red Santa is now pretty much the American Santa. So these traditions, they evolve over time. But they don't change gender and they don't change race. Include some mother Christmases. Patriarchy and colonialism went hand in hand. Show the next generation that men don't have to be in charge. Well, I think men do have to be in charge. What has been the result of 100 years of allowing women to be in charge? Well, we now have a fertility rate that is so low we're not producing enough to replace ourselves. And if it carries on going in the same direction for the next 100 years, we'll have died out within 100 years. So literally within 200 years of taking men from the leadership and swapping them with women, we end up dying out. Some people may say, well, that's not a direct correlation. But if you give women the vote and if you give women the chance to work and they work as men, then they're going to work as men, aren't they? They're not going to spend their time behaving as young as mothers. They're not going to want to have children because they're going to think that what they should be doing is working. The same as the men. And what you need is the men working to provide for the women and the women not working and raising children, which I'm sure they would be very happy to do. A lot of women are quite angry at the fact that they have to work and they can't actually afford to go and have children. But you have feminism to thank for that, which is what they're suggesting here, telling children that men don't have to be in charge. The Post concluded, the goal is moving away from a colonial narrative of dominance. Instead, tell a story that emphasises cultural diversity, exchange and respect. Well, I don't really see how people can see that Santa Claus is dominant in any way. He's a kindly, friendly figure. He gives out presents to children. He's not dominating anything. But perhaps you could say that Father Christmas is dominating the Christmas festivities, but that's because the Christmas festivities, it's a European festival. So it's going to be European traditions at it, not Jewish traditions or African traditions. The suggestions were met with derision, with critics branding the document laughable and accusing the museum of competing for the title of Grinch of the Year. Lord Young, founder of the Free Speech Union, told The Telegraph that the museum had adopted a joyless tone. He said, I don't think children in non-Christian countries are going to object when Santa pops down their chimney to give them a present. But why would they be expecting Santa to do something like that? Surely they would look at that and they would say, oh, that's a European tradition. We have different traditions over here about this same time of year. Is this museum suggesting they should leave a note saying, sorry, but this is a decolonized fireplace and white supremacists dressed in red aren't welcome? If so, it should rename itself the Right On and Po-Faced Museum. So people are taking this quite in quite a humorous vein, but it really does show how anti-white our institutions have become. We have these people among us that just really don't like anything about their own group. And I'm not talking about people from other groups here. I mean, this museum, I would pretty much make a bet that it's not run by Jews and that it was white people that actually did this. We are we are our own worst enemy in a lot of ways. Alka Siegel Cuthbert, director of Don't Divide Us, was equally scathing. The idea that Santa Claus needs to be decolonized is laughable. It also shows that there are no limits to what ideologues in cultural institutions will go to in seeking to rupture our sense of belonging to a common past and culture. And that's it. They don't want us to have a common past and culture. They tell us that we don't have a culture, and whatever culture we have must be diversified. They never actually tell us the reason why it has to be diversified. They just tell us that it's a great strength. And then when you ask them what are the good things that diversity brings, they might talk about food. They might talk about people doing jobs that white people don't want to do. But then the other side of that is we have people in the country that are 20 times more likely to rape than white people. We have Islamic terrorism in the country. We have white people that have been murdered by other people that have come here. And is the different food or the people doing the jobs that we don't want to do, is that worth thousands of people being raped? Tens of thousands of people being raped? Maybe hundreds of thousands of people being raped and thousands of people being murdered? I really don't think it is. And that's what this is about. This is about messing up our culture and inflicting diversity upon it. Because if you have a homogenous group, that has a strength to it, that can work together to resist harmful things that are being done to that group. If you split that group up with diversity, that will weaken that group. And it's quite obvious. They even knew about this in New Testament times. Jesus said, a house divided against itself will never stand. And that's what we have now. We have a house that is divided against itself, and we are collapsing. The majority of our own group seem to think that it's a positive thing to have mass immigration and to divide our group and weaken our group. So we have people that, I guess you would call them self-hating whites. The people that Dr. Edward Dutton refers to as spiteful mutants that do harmful things, that engage in maladaptive behavior that harms the group. It's like we are willfully committing suicide as a people. And there are people among us that encourage this and that celebrate it. And they're the sort of people that write things like this, that attack our traditions and our institutions, such as Father Christmas. This playing at faux radical anti-West politics by museums is boring, tedious, and intellectually vacuous. This isn't culture, it's playpen politics, which should not be getting public funding or official endorsement from witless museums. The museum could get Grinch of the Year award, though. And sadly, it is a lot of these museums that are doing this. And the museums are supposed to be repositories of knowledge. They're supposed to have lots of information in there that you can soak up about whatever the museum is directed towards. And yet, well, and you really, if you're going to have the knowledge there, you should just put established facts. But they don't anymore. They add all of this white guilt. Like, for instance, if you go to see a museum about somebody from the British Empire, you'll be lectured about slavery and about how the people from that time were racist. Whereas what you really should be told is just what happened at the time. The National Trust is a good example of this. The National Trust properties, they've gone through them all trying to find the ones that have links to slavery so that they can tell people that go there what horrible people that actually owned the National Trust were. It's like the Church of England. They've had an audit to see what connections they had to slavery so that they can effectively tell people what bad people our ancestors were. And all this adds together with this low fertility rate, and you end up with people hating themselves and thinking that it's our group that are responsible for all these problems, and we're not responsible for these problems. Well, we are in the sense that we are responsible for diversity. We caused the diversity problem by changing our immigration policy. But the way that this is told, it makes out that white people are responsible for all the problems that the other races of the world have. And we're not responsible for their problems. We could bend over backwards to try to help them with their problems. A spokesman for Brighton and Hove Museums sought to downplay the row, insisting that the public was free to agree or disagree. They said this blog post was written in 2023 as part of our culture change work. Yes, but it's only in the news now, so it's clearly still on the blog, on the homepage. As museum educators, our role is not to tell people what is right or wrong. Well, exactly, but that is what they are doing. That's what these museums are doing. They're trying to put value judgments on the actions of our ancestors, making out that they were responsible for slavery rather than being responsible for ending slavery. Our role is not to tell people what is right or wrong, but to help audiences look at history and culture from more than one point of view. Is that the point of history? I thought history was his story. I thought the whole point of it was that it was one person's point of view. And that's their view of history. That's why we have multiple witnesses to events, because one person might see something else. And each race, each nation is going to have a different view of history. You can't tell everybody's view of history. You can only tell one view. And we should be telling history from the point of view of the British people, not trying to tell history from the point of view of Africans. They can do that in Africa, can't they? In Britain, we should be telling the point of view of the British, that our view of history. And then it can be argued that maybe our view is different to somebody else's view, but we can't be saying that our point of view is wrong, or our ancestors were wrong, or trying to make out that we need to feel guilty for them. Our ancestors were the same as us today. And you look at us today and we're bending over backwards to help the other races. And that is exactly what our ancestors were like. They had good morals, they had good hearts, and they wanted to do their best for these groups. And if it wasn't for colonialism in Africa, we wouldn't have ended slavery. The whole point of colonialism in Africa was to end slavery. David Livingstone. We did a podcast on David Livingstone in our Greatest Britain series. You can look it up on the Radio Albion website. He was very, very anti-slavery. He wanted to stop slavery. And his solution to that was to colonize Africa so that the Africans had ports, so that they had networks which they could travel merchandise down to these ports, so that they could sell merchandise to the rest of the world, which would permit them to stop having to sell each other, because the only merchandise that the Africans had were other Africans. So the idea of colonizing Africa was to help Africans to create other products that the rest of the world would want, so that they didn't need to sell other slaves. That was the whole point of colonialism. Yet you'll be told today that colonialism was terribly wrong and it was all about enslaving Africans, which it wasn't. Continuing here, help the audience look at history and culture from more than one point of view and to create opportunities for discussion and debate. Well, that's what we're doing here in this program. We do like discussion and debate, just as we do when interpreting art, objects and historic places. And the Daily Mail has approached Brighton and Hove Museums for comment, but clearly they didn't comment, apart from to say that this post was written in 2023, but it's clearly still up there because it's being talked about now. And it's just another symptom of all the attacks that there are on our culture, this culture of critique that Dr. Kevin MacDonald wrote about. This is a part of that. And it's not all carried out by Jews. A lot of the people that are doing this are white people. As I say, we are doing it to ourselves. We are our own worst enemies. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. And I will actually be live on Patriotic Weekly Review tonight for the live New Year's Eve edition. So if you want to hear more of me, I shall be on there. Apart from that, I shall be back tomorrow with the Daily Nationalist. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.